And I'll give you this one. And it's not just for her, it's for all of you. I was ministering at a church in northern Vermont. And I was asked to go to the Canadian side to minister in a church that was where my brother and his wife actually were married. And it was a church that had been closed down, and it became a home for a couple, and they were Christians. And we were asked to go to minister to that place that night. I had a person with me who had seen a vision of two flamingos. And I had never understood what flamingos were, but you can tell by the nature of the vision and who's in the vision, the nature of a flamingo is what?
Graceful, I think. Oh, proud.
Mm-hmm. And they walk with their necks way out, their heads are way up here, right around. Right. And they are a very, very precious, and they make sure their feathers are all in good order.
Right.
And what color are they?
White.
Pink.
They're like a pinkish peach. Okay? So, when this vision was given, we both prayed. The one who received the vision and the one that gave it to me. So we went together, and we began to pray as we're driving towards where we were going. Well, there were a few people in the building, which was a church, and that was now their living room and kitchen. And it was well divided, and the balcony was bedrooms, which was quite attractive. And when two people came in, it was two ladies, and they were dressed in peach jumpsuits.
Stop it.
Both of them. And my friend goes like this. And I went, and I thought, oh my God, Lord, you're not funny. I wish you wouldn't have given this to me, because now, how many know your head goes to work?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And one was a pastor. Oh, yeah. So, I give the message the Lord gave me. Then we prayed, and the Lord directed me to take the oil and go to the pastor. And guess who's assisting the pastor? The other flamingo. And I am biting my lips. And the Holy Spirit says, stop and do. And it took every, and then I see my friends just in tongues, because you can tell when they're praying in the Spirit. And that began to calm me down, because now I'm ready to burst. And as I touched the pastor, which is a lady, she went down like, boom. I mean, there was a, it didn't matter how many catchers would have been there, she went down like a brick. And on the floor she lay. And she lay for a long time. And now her friend, I said, Lord, what do I do? He says, just get the girls to pray for her and separate. Because I knew they were in cahoots. I knew. So the one on the ground could not make a decision if the other intercessor was going to keep the flow of negative going. Okay? Well, she was on the ground for about 35 to 45 minutes while everyone else was praying. Finally, the Lord told me to go down and kneel next to her and give her a word. I don't remember the word. Don't ask. I don't know. I gave her the word, whatever it was, and finally she was able to get up, and her husband came to help. About 8 months later, I saw her, and she was at a big, big church in Southern Connecticut, and I happened to be there. And I know she saw me. She never acknowledged my presence.
Maybe she didn't recognize.
A year later. Oh.
Oh no, she
obviously. Okay. No way. Okay. No way. No way. It was impossible. I had become a nobody, and her choice was clear. And I said to the Lord, "What is going on?" And within a year, the church was closed.
The church in Connecticut was closed? Oh, the one up.
Yeah. And they chose someone outside of my friend to open up something new for them. So what am I saying to you? There are times that God will give you something and you don't want to receive it because it's going to take your mind and your emotions for a ride. And God's not laughing, but you and I are, because you can see the hand of the Holy Spirit doing what he says he would do in spite of. And that's where you need to leave it. I want to take you back to that word that came through Kim Clement. Just very briefly. And if you take time to listen to the message from last Saturday, you will be blessed. But what he is actually declaring at a church in Orlando, and if you look up the actual date on what's written, you will find that the prophetic word, actually what's written, is more than what literally came out of the message on last Saturday.
What's the date?
June 10th, I told you earlier. June 10th, 2010. The astounding part that the young man who narrates this on Saturday was, when that was given, the anointing on Kim Clement is talking about Pentecost. Pentecost this year came in June. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So it's awesome to think that in that particular year, Pentecost was in May in 2010. Yet he's communicating the sirens, which happened in Orlando, mm-hmm. and all of the prophetic words that comes out is absolutely intense. But as I was listening to this, the Lord said, remember, I'm making my army able to do, but some are strays.
You think?
Yeah, you think. You know, and sometimes I get phone calls and I, you know, They're saying to me over the phone, oh yeah, you know, we're part of your church. And I'm thinking, well, you don't support us and you don't show up. How can you be? Mm-hmm. All right? And I don't say the words, but I want to wake them up. And the Lord said the vision is very clear. It's time to grow up instead of being fed. It's time for the grown-ups to start feeding.
Amen.
Okay? And the grown-ups need to feed the children. And the children need to mature. But it's not something that I can do. It's only the Holy Spirit who will prompt you to do what you need to do and to carry the ball where you need to carry the ball. Because you can't be babies forever. How many know babies grow up?
Amen.
Yet I've known some people that are in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and they're still mentally children. And they don't want to activate. They don't want to use their spirit. They don't want to use their spiritual senses. They don't even want to ask for them. They're happy where they are. Don't disturb me. And it's not God. It's not God. So I want to take you very shortly to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Does that tell you something? Sound the alarm on my holy hill.
Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. The sign says, soon. Okay. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick blackness. Like dawn spreading across the mountain, a large and mighty army comes. A what? A large and mighty army, such as never was of old, nor ever will be in ages to come. Before them, fire devours. Behind them, a flame blazes. Before them, the land is like a garden of Eden. Behind them, a desert waste. Nothing escaped them. They have the appearance of horses. They gallop along like cavalry, with a noise like that of a chariot. They leap over the mountains like a crackling fire, consuming stubble, like a mighty army drawn up for battle. At the sight of them, nations are in anguish. Notice it's nations. Amen? Every face turns pale. They charge like warriors. They scale walls like soldiers. They all march in line, not swerving from their course. They do not jostle each other. Each marches straight ahead. They plunge through the defenses without breaking rank. They rush upon the city. They run along the wall. They climb into the houses like thieves. They enter through the windows. And before them, the earth shakes, and the sky trembles, and the sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. This whole descriptive chapter is talking about the Lord's army. It's not the enemy's army that's out breaking down walls, carrying on deliverance, burning the chaff and burning away what needs to be removed. Amen? So the Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number. And mighty are those who obey his commands. Who are those that obey his commands? The adults. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your hearts, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. He relents. Why? Because he wants people to receive grace and favor and mercy, not judgment. So it's not all about judgment in our nation. What it is about is how much grace and favor and mercy can you give out to the broken? Something else that came out of that comment from Saturday's program, which, by the way, I had not listened to for quite a while because I didn't have time. How many know Chick-fil-A doesn't work on Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Right. They broke their own rules in Orlando. And the Chick-fil-A people went double time on Sunday and brought food to all the people that were in line to give blood for the broken.
Amen.
You and I were concerned about what is going on in the church right in the local area.
Correct.
They are doing their job. They broke their own laws to go, and they brought all kinds of foods to those that were waiting in line to give out their own blood to support those that were broken.
Amen.
Or damaged or surgeons or whatever. So what does that say? God's church is on the move. Okay? And they did it orderly. And you didn't hear about it in the news. Why? Get rid of your newsprint.
Not right now.
Got it? Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's not going to give you the good news. So don't focus too much on what you see in the news. But do focus on what God is doing.
Amen.
Because he's working. He's on the job. So look at your neighbor. Say, God's on the job.
God's on the job.
And I'm in the army.
And I'm in the army.
And I'm going to do my part.
And I'm going to do my part.
Because I'm growing up.
Because I'm growing up.
Not out.
Not out.
Share some hugs with each other.